for joining us for the first 2023 installment of the Uninformed Gamers Podcast. I am one of three hosts. You know me, you love me. I am Darkness Tiger, and I am joined by not only my brother, Chameleon.
Yo.
I am also joined by the best reviewer in the business, Rad Dreams Review.
What up? How's it going, guys?
Welcome back, gentlemen. We are in 2023. Can you believe we survived this long?
I am too, considering we've lived through Y2K.
It's so true.
That is fair.
And it was, I mean, think about it. No, we all thought the world was going to end.
It's funny because I was on Twitter, and when we're going to talk about the Pirates, Skull and Bones or whatever a little bit later.
Yeah.
Somebody just talked about, oh, it's delayed. And I'm like, this game has been delayed more times than the Earth being, like, destroyed.
Yeah,
like,
right, because first we had Y2K, and then second we had the fucking Mayan bullshit.
The Mayan calendar.
That was, what, in, like, 2012 or some shit?
2012. Yep. We've had every disease known to, apparently, animal and human.
Mm-hmm.
We've had, like, asteroids are supposed to hit. We've had climate change. And yet, here we are. We survived. The Uninformed Gamers have survived.
Anytime I see end of the world shit, I always think of the movie Day After Tomorrow. I don't know why.
It's such a good movie.
it's such a classic disaster film.
Oh yeah.
I think it's the epitome of disaster films. I think that is the best one that was done.
Yeah.
2012 was visually unimpressive, but I think that Day After Tomorrow was the best one of that series.
Oh, yeah, 100%. And then the obviously best disaster movie is obviously Armageddon.
I knew you were going to say that, and I was going to disagree.
What? No!
The best disaster
movie fuck
is
you.
I Am Legend? That's what I was thinking.
No, dude. Armageddon, man. Armageddon.
Will Smith, keep my wife's name out your motherfucking mouth.
No, but to be real, I Am Legend was extremely good, but I consider that more of a zombie-esque film. Yes, it's fair. Yes, it's disaster, but it's not an asteroid. It's not weather, that sort of thing. It's a different kind of disaster. But no, the I Am Legend is fucking fantastic. Hands down, it's a phenomenal movie. Love it.
I think the thing we're not talking about when we're talking about apocalyptic movies like Day After Tomorrow is the world coming to an end.
Yeah.
Whereas I Am Legend is the world has already ended.
Ended, and it's just it's life beyond humans.
Yeah. So it's technically two different genres of movies.
Yeah.
Still great movies, but I will give you Armageddon for world ending. Even the world didn't end.
Yeah, they did prevent it.
Yes. True. So I'm going to talk to you guys because all of us actually celebrated bringing in the New Year's together.
Yes. It was a bit of an Uninformed Gamers New Year's celebration.
Yeah. We started with some hot pot, which was absolutely delicious.
It was delicious. But
so, what was your guys' impressions?
So we went to this hot pot place that's technically within close proximity to all of us. And generally for hot pot and for New Year's, I was on the impression that we could have made a reservation.
No, unfortunately not.
So I was the first one to arrive, naturally. And first off, you guys don't know how to count.
What was fucking me up is people just kept on getting added and subtracted, and then people were like, oh, I'm coming, but I'm not coming to Hot Pot. I'm going to come to David. Oh. There was a lot of confusion and miscommunication. So that is on me. But
here's what had happened, listeners. So there's a group chat, and we couldn't make a reservation to this place, but there's a group chat saying, hey, we're doing a full count. Let's get it. At first, the number was 8. Then it was 12, and then it was reduced down to 10, and we got the final confirmation that it was 10. I get there first. I don't know who any of these people are, and I'm just like, hey, can we get a hot pot table for 10? And the person behind the counter is like, well, we don't have a hot pot table for 10.
Mm-hmm.
They totally did, though. Oh, they saw that room. You saw that room.
It was like a private lounge.
Yeah. A private lounge with like FedEx boxes mm-hmm. hanging out. This is the kind of establishment we were at. And I'm looking at the room as they're like, we don't have a room for 10. I'm like, technically you do, but okay. And so I'm like, what do you have? And they're like, well, we'll be back with you. We got to take some other guests. So I'm like, okay, I'll just go outside and just vibe for a little bit. Then Chris and Victoria show up. And I'm like, hey, guys, they don't have a table for 10. And Chris is like, well, what do they have? And I'm like, they never told me. Let me go back and find out. So then they were like, okay, we have a couple different tables. We can do 4 hot pot here, 4 hot pot here. And I'm like, well, that won't work because we have 10. So there's going to be 3 different tables.
Yeah.
And so when everybody finally arrives, I'm like, I don't know if some people are going to do hot pot, some people want to do sushi. Nobody knows. And as we're getting ready to finally seat, the guy is like, well, how many people are in your party? And I'm like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11.
Yeah, we had 1 extra.
Out of the blue.
Yeah.
And so I look at the guy, I'm like, I told you 10 about 20 minutes ago. It's 11 now. And the guy's like, all right, well, come with me. So we get to sit at our own little tables. It was very nice. The food was delicious. I love cooking my own food and paying that much for it.
Mm-hmm.
It was a great experience. I think it was a great start of the evening.
Yeah, I agree.
Yep.
We got an opportunity to make some new friends. I think 2 people in that group did not go to join us for Dave & Buster's.
No.
If you guys don't know what Dave & Buster's is, it's basically like gambling for children, except for you win tickets.
Yeah, I mean, I would say like Dave & Buster's is more geared towards like adults nowadays, especially with like the inclusion of like the bar and all of that. Like it's basically, to me, it's like an adult-ish version of Chuck E. Cheese.
Yep, that's exactly what it is.
I would agree with that
statement. But with the exception to that, Dave & Buster's is a lot more cleaner than Chuck E. Cheese.
True.
Even with that being said, I asked Jackie if she could bring hand sanitizer.
Yeah, she did.
Because like after every game I touched, my hands felt like I was just holding a pizza.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, it didn't feel great. It felt slimy. It felt gross. But I think the first game that we all played, or at least 3 of us did, was Halo.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a lot of fun. I had a good time with it. It was, to me, like the Covenant enemies. Yeah. They had so much fucking armor.
So much health.
Yeah, and I'm like, this game is not meant to be played one by yourself.
No.
It's not meant to be played, you can't just play one time.
No, you have to spend a fuck ton of money.
You have to spend $60 to play this game. And at that point, just play it at home.
Yeah, I'm just going to buy fucking Halo at that point.
It'd be cheaper to buy an Xbox at that point.
Yeah, for real.
But I will say that we also, not only playing Halo, at Dave & Buster's, they also had a Mario Kart.
Yes.
Full-scale Mario Kart. And I know, listeners, this is visually the first time you've probably ever seen me, but I am the racer. And I want you to take a guess at who won.
Ha, ha, ha.
Yeah, this guy.
Hey,
he doesn't like the gloat at all.
Does your shoulders hurt a little bit there, Devin, with that big head of yours? Or
believe me, my back is strong from carrying all this ego. And
which way is it to the gun show?
Jesus. Yeah,
right, baby. But no, I think they like when initially this idea was pitched for us to spend New Year's, I was at first a little hesitant because I'm like, I don't know if it's going to be fun.
Yeah, yeah. It's
going to be packed, you know, but you know what? I'm willing to try because usually I spend either New Year's either by myself or with my mother. And I didn't want to do that this year. So Mason, thank you for coming up with the idea.
Yeah, no problem.
Amazing time.
It was nice ringing in the new year with you guys as well as everybody else.
Oh, yeah. And I'm thankful for the bar because I was out.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. That bar line was long, though.
And I do appreciate how the bar was like, had about, I would say at max 15 people in line, and they had just two guys, one guy, one girl, and the guy would break a glass every other customer.
Oh, really?
And I'm just casually observing every other customer, he would drop his glass.
That is
funny. He must have been newer.
He was like 80.
Oh, or I mean,
he wasn't new to life.
I could make a bad joke, but maybe I shouldn't.
Go for it. We're on TikTok now.
Yeah, I was gonna say maybe he's got like arthritis or some shit.
Sorry, that is kind of messed up. Leave the old man alone.
Hey, I warned you.
No. Oh no.
Did you guys like do your like ticket count, like how many tickets you had at the end of the night?
Yeah.
No.
Didn't you say like Victoria had a fuck ton?
But she had a ton like to begin with, and then we just added to the ton. So I don't know what it was at. It was probably like 12,000 to 15,000, something like that.
Wow. God, she had enough to buy a pack of M&Ms.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. She's just been stacking them up for however long she's been going to Dave & Buster's.
Yeah. Cause I think Jack and I ended the night with a little over 7,000.
Ooh.
Wow. That's
spicy.
Right. Considering y'all started with zero, right?
Yeah, we did.
Damn.
I did not do a count because I wasn't keeping count. Because I don't care. I'm like, I can accumulate these tickets, but I'm not going in that gift shop.
Yeah, yeah.
I just think that the amount of effort that I put in
is not, it's not worth it.
It's not worth the reward. I don't need another straw. I don't need a pair of Dave & Buster sunglasses. It's not really worth it for me, but it is fun for like the kids and stuff. So I get
that. Yeah. So it is a good time for kids for sure.
Oh yeah. So let's get to our very first story of 2023. And surprisingly, I just love the full circle we do.
Mm-hmm.
Because Ubisoft has found a way to always and forever be in our news.
Yes, they have.
So this week, Ubisoft has announced that they're unfortunately delaying a game that they've never delayed before. It's the first time we've ever heard.
Yeah, is that right?
We even did a podcast episode or two at this point about Skull and Bones being delayed. And
yes, we have.
Again.
Yep. So, all right. So this is the sixth time.
Six? God damn. I didn't know it was like that, dude.
Oh yeah.
Holy shit. I thought it was like maybe this is like the third time.
This game has been delayed more than a Southwest flight.
Fuck. Now.
Yes. And then on top of delaying that, they canceled three unannounced games. So they're in a weird spot. I think they're having some financial troubles.
Yeah, I would say so. Especially if they canceled like three projects, like you said, they have to be struggling a little.
Well, what had happened was that the head of Ubisoft was actually doing a shareholder meeting, and they're getting close to the end of their quarter, and they basically discovered, oh, we've actually lost a lot of money. I think to the tune of they're expected to lose $520 million, give or take. Right. And the reason being is because they kept delaying games, and like that's what happens when you delay a game, you don't make any money from it. Yep. So they delayed Assassin's Creed Mirage, which was supposed to be, that's Ubisoft's bread and butter at this point.
That's what they're known for.
They delayed it until like 2023, so there was no money coming from that. Skull and Bones, which was supposed to be released in November, I don't know who would have paid for it, and we'll talk more about that in a much further podcast episode down the line.
We can.
We're allowed to. sorry guys, that is a super inside thing we're not allowed to talk about. And one of the games that Ubisoft expected to bring in a lot of money, Mario plus the Rabbids Spark of Hopes, which won best multiplayer, I think.
Yeah, I did. Yep.
Nobody bought it. They literally said, and I was reading through some comments, I was doing research. Everybody was talking about, oh, this game is so hype, it was so good, but not a single person knows anyone who bought it.
I
don't know either. I mean, I love Mario, and back in the day, I did enjoy my fair share of Rayman games, but like I never got into that sort of like franchise where they fused the two together, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Neither did I. So I think this was kind of expected. When you delay stuff and you don't have like a quote unquote AAA title coming out,
right?
What, you've got nothing to show for it.
Yeah, it's it like sucks. Like I like Ubisoft. I like a lot of their games. Same. I've never given that series a try. I'm sure it's really good. I've heard it's like XCOM with.
Yeah, I've heard that as well.
And so I think that sounds fun, because I do like XCOM style of game,
right?
And the wackiness that is probably ensues from it being Mario would probably be pretty fun. But like, it is honestly, that's a niche title. Like, not a lot of people would buy that.
I think that Ubisoft really led on with like the Mario part of that, and that's what they were trying to sell on. Because as we've seen with Nintendo, you can pretty much just attach Mario to anything and it's going to be a blockbuster seller.
Yeah, without a doubt.
But when it's coming from Ubisoft and not necessarily Nintendo, that turned out not to necessarily be true.
Mm-hmm.
And it is interesting because it did win an award at the Video Game Awards of 2022.
It did.
But to think that not a lot of people even played it is just so funny, because I think people were just voting because it had the Mario name attached.
Yeah, I mean, name recognition was definitely a factor, 100%.
Yeah, and for me personally, I am a big, as Chris mentioned, I am a big fan of Ubisoft's lineup as well, specifically the Far Cry series, the Assassin's Creed series. These are, for me, are sellers, even though they're multi-platform.
Yep. Yeah, I'm a big fan of Division, Rainbow Six, Assassin's Creed. I haven't played a lot of the recent ones, but
you played Origins.
I still need to play freaking like Odyssey, and I need to play Origins.
Yes, I played Origins, and I started Odyssey, but I was playing it via the cloud, so I did not finish it.
Okay, yeah. Okay, I got you.
The problem that I have with Ubisoft games is they take so long to finish.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, they're definitely time sinkers.
Well, I think my Assassin's Creed Odyssey journey was 100, and I think total was like 170 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Origins was not right. Right? I have not been able to do that ever since.
No.
I bought Assassin's Creed Valhalla, and I just sit there and I look at it. I'm like, nah, I'm not. I can't do it again.
It sounds like my Persona journey.
Oh my god!
It took me so long to beat Persona 5. I was like, oh my! At one point, like toward the end there, I was just like, get me through to the end of this game. I just want to see how this ends.
Yeah,
because I was up till that point, I was genuinely enjoying the game, but I felt like toward the end, they kind of stretched it out way more than it needed to be.
Yep.
So it was it took me about 120 hours to beat. I actually thought it should have ended about 105 hours. So it added an extra 15 hours of gameplay I didn't want to do. That felt like really like, you really trying to stretch this. Yeah. Like I was just like, get me out of here. And then they made the Royal Edition. I was like, no.
It's like, wrap it up. Come on.
You guys sound like me after watching Avatar: Way of Water.
I actually rewatched the first film in preparation to watch Way of Water. First film holds up. I'm telling you, like, it still holds up to this day.
Visually, it's an impressive series.
Yeah, seriously. The movie came it came out in 2009. So the fact that it still holds up nowadays is saying a lot. I've always said that, like you said, Devin, it's like Pocahontas, but it's also like freaking Dances with Wolves.
Okay, that doesn't hold up because, no.
What do you mean?
It's different.
How is it different?
Because Dances with Wolves is not a movie that I would say, oh, this movie could be released in 2022.
How so?
Just visually, whereas Avatar, the original Avatar.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I see. Okay, I see what you're saying. I'm speaking more in terms of like thematic elements.
Okay, yeah. Yeah,
because like to me, Avatar, the first one, is like a fusion between Pocahontas and Dances with Wolves, because you have this guy who basically has to join a tribe and then he falls in love with a native.
Kevin Costner.
So
a white guy in a Native American movie, just like what was it? Tom Cruise. Tom Cruise.
Hey. The Last Samurai is a good fucking movie. It is.
Yeah, I'm glad they hired Tom Cruise to do that role.
But it's fucking weird because you're, if anybody, if you listeners watching this are familiar with Dave Chappelle, I won't say the, I will not say the line because I'm white, but
you really can't.
But he has a segment where he talks about The Last Samurai, and he's just like, "You're telling me that The Last Samurai is Tom Cruise? Really? Really?" And then he says another part, which I won't say.
Right, don't say it. But real quick before we get into table topics, do you guys, what was a post-apocalyptic movie, or what was a apocalyptic movie that came out in
2009?
Yes, what was another like end of world movie that came out in 2009?
Oh my god,
massive.
It was a popular.
Which one, Chris?
I don't know. 10 days. I don't know if that's even what it's called.
No, you're not as far as off as you think you are, but no.
I don't know. 28 days later.
No. The one that I'm thinking of right now is the movie 2012. Came out in 2009.
Oh, really?
Don't know why that didn't come out in 2012, but all right.
Yeah, that is odd. You would think it would.
Maybe they were like doomsaying, like, yeah. 3 years, this is the end.
Yeah,
because at least not like the day before 2012.
Like, yeah, right. Like, release it like December 31st.
But then you don't get, but then everyone didn't get to see your vision like before 2012. And then what if the world actually ended in 2012?
Yeah. You know what would be excellent though? If they would release it on December 31st, 2011, and like 90% of the way through the movie, the power goes out.
Yeah. That's part of the experience. Ooh.
Exactly. 4D, the chairs fall out from the bottom of the floor and everybody falls and gets hurt.
Yeah, right. Everybody falls into lava.
All right, let's go ahead and let's change our stories. Mason, you got this one for us.
Yeah, I'll try to be as brief as possible with this next one because it does have a lot of moving parts to it. But we're going to be speaking on the Wizards of the Coast and Hasbro fiasco. And they seem to be finding themselves in a lot of hot water lately. Their first brush with controversy was with Magic the Gathering. I don't know if you guys remember this. They did a 30th anniversary celebration with Magic the Gathering. So, you know, they're just like, you know what? There's a good way to celebrate this. Let's charge $1,000 for 4 packs of cards for a chance to get proxy versions of old school cards that came out in like the alpha set. So, let me paint a picture with this first controversy. I'm sure you both are familiar and our listeners are familiar with the card, the Black Lotus.
Yes.
Right? It's probably the most popular Magic card. It's the most expensive one. It's coveted, all this shit. So in this Magic the Gathering 30th anniversary, they're just like, okay, well, here we're going to charge $1,000 for a chance for you to pull this card that is a proxy, which is it's useless, essentially. I can spend 1 cent, pull up a fucking JPEG online, print it off on my printer, and it would still have the same utility.
Welcome to crypto. Or welcome to NFTs.
Yeah, right? So that was their way of saying, hey, it's the 30th anniversary. Yay! Here's something you can't afford for $1,000. It's like it was their basically middle finger to the freaking fans of Magic.
Yeah, that's not cool.
Like it pissed me off and it pissed a lot of content creators off, pissed off basically the entire franchise. And before I move on to the newest controversy, what makes matters worse with that Magic thing? Guess what? Local game stores couldn't even sell it.
What is that?
Where'd you get? Why? You had to buy it online?
You had to buy it direct from Wizards.
Oh, that's petty.
And you could only get it if you were a local game store like premier location. Like you had to do all this like bullshit in order to qualify to get, guess what? One. Just one pack.
I would have been like, even if I would have qualified, I'm like, don't bring that crap over here. I don't want that.
Oh, it infuriated the fan base. It infuriated me. It was just god awful. And so what does Wizards and Hasbro decide to do now? They're just like, you know what? Let's piss off another fan base. Let's piss off the D&D fans. So they had a recent corporate meeting, and the powers that be were just like, huh, Dungeons & Dragons seems to be under-monetized.
Never a good corporate decision.
No, so as soon as you hear that word, under-monetization, the alarm goes off in your head, right? You think to yourself, oh my god, they're gonna fucking do microtransactions, they're gonna fucking do NFTs, they're gonna fucking do crypto, they're gonna do all this bullshit to try to monetize.
Yep.
Hashtag Square Enix.
But I mean, luckily none of that has happened. But what they did do is they are playing with this idea of a new open game license. So currently they have a open game license, or OGL, that states, hey, you can do what you want with our product. No strings attached. Just go wild. Whatever. It's fine. That's how like Critical Role came to be, right? Yep. And that's like probably the biggest D&D thing out would be Critical Role, right? They made a fucking Amazon show about it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I can't deal with that show because there's too much singing.
Yeah, there is. But
I tried watching, I just couldn't do it.
and that's fine. Like, it's not for everybody. But the fact remains that it's so popular that Amazon took notice and made an animated show about D&D. Like, that's cool. And so under this new OGL agreement, Wizards is just like, okay, well, let's target these third-party people that use our brand, our D&D brand, and let's charge them, let's make them pay royalties. So basically the TLDR of this is if you make, I think it was like 50K, you have to pay royalties. And then I don't remember the percentage for that, but the percentage I do remember is if you make 750K or more, you have to pay 25% of royalty to 25.
Absolutely not.
Yep.
I didn't see that. And that's crazy. That's a lot. Go ahead.
If you do Kickstarter though, only 20%.
Only.
That's
cheap. So affordable.
And then I also heard that if you do stuff with that new license.
Yep.
They're able to freely take anything that you do and use it in whatever aspect that they want.
Yes. And in conjunction to that, they have a clause within that agreement that states they can change the agreement at any time.
This is crazy. Kind of a hustle culture that I hate. Like, y'all are just trying to take everything you possibly can to make a nickel. Like, I hope Ubisoft does not hear this. I know they're broke.
Yeah.
Do not follow this.
Yeah, like it's kind of fucked, honestly. And it's really putting a lot of content creators on edge because a lot of people do make a living off of like D&D. So I'm very curious to see what's going to happen. I mean, Wizards and Hasbro, their cash cow is D&D. Like, that is their biggest IP. I don't really think it's under monetized at all, but that's just like my opinion.
Well, from my perspective, I think that Hasbro is going to still make their money because people are D&D fans.
Yeah, exactly.
So for a lot of people, the price doesn't really matter because they're going to pay it regardless.
Mm-hmm. Like they make a lot of money via their books, their minis, their digital content. I mean, you name it. Like they do make a fair amount of money off of D&D without charging royalty fees.
Yeah. Yeah. This is it will split their player base.
Yes, it will.
Because there are people that will either A, not want to pay that fee of doing whatever they end up deciding to do. Like, I've been hearing that this D&D one thing is going to be like subscription.
Yeah.
There's going to be a lot of people that don't want to pay it. There's going to be a lot of people that can't pay it because they're like, I don't have the finances for this to be signing up for another subscription.
No. I mean, hell, fucking D&D Beyond. I mean, that service alone costs a lot of money if you want all the digital books and all the digital content.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, so it they're putting themselves in a really weird hole that they're digging themselves.
Yeah, I mean, they're angering a fan base, and this is just not the way to conduct business.
No.
Hasbro acting like it's trying to have a hot girl weekend at Coachella the way it's trying to charge money. This is ridiculous.
Yeah, for real, dude.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Hitting the nail on the head right there.
We'll keep you guys updated on this story. It's scummy, but... I hate when I always say this. They're only going to be able to charge this price and be able to charge these subscriptions because people are going to sign up for it. People are going to drop thousands of dollars because they think that it's going to be somehow a better experience. If you're listening, we need to start showing the developers, the creators, these companies that we're not going to participate in your little schemes by just not participating.
Yeah.
Stop opening your wallet.
Yep.
Stop subscribing to someone's subscription. We've had enough. Like my aunt, she wanted to watch this interview with Prince Harry and Michael Strahan.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, just put it on YouTube. And she's like, it's not on YouTube. And I'm like, what is it? Oh, it's on ABC Live. I said, what is ABC Live?
Never even heard of it.
Never heard. Yeah.
It's ABC's subscription program.
Jesus. Everybody has one now.
How old do you have to be to get the subscription service to ABC? I want to see Michael Strahan at all hours of the day. No, I don't.
Don't worry. It'll be posted royalty-free on Reddit in no time.
Yeah, right.
I said give it 24 hours. You'll be able to watch this interview as much as you want.
Yep.
I promise you. All right. Let's change topics here. Chris, do you want to bring us this next one?
Yeah. So as everyone knows, as fans of the gaming industry, if you watched the Game Awards in this past year, I know it was just like a month ago, but this past year.
It's weird to say.
Right?
It is weird to say.
You would have noticed that Xbox was pretty much absent from the show.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're going through the theory is because of their like legal problems trying to buy... Activision Blizzard, that they stayed out of the show.
I will say, you're right. Xbox was absent from the Video Game Awards, but Phil Spencer was not.
He was there.
No, he was there.
He was totally there.
He was there with a notepad.
Him and Sarah Bond, I think that's the other, his second hand.
I think
that's the yes.
Hand. Yes, so they were both there, but the Xbox games are very much not there. So Xbox finally announced what they're doing about that. So on January 25th, there will be like an Xbox Bethesda Developer Direct. So it's gone. They said that there's not going to be like hosts and co-hosts and whatnot. They're literally going to give the camera to the developers at the studios to talk and show their games and gameplay, which is pretty cool. So you'll see stuff from like Arcane, Turn 10, Mojang, ZeniMax Studios Online. There's going to be like that showcase, and then directly after it, there's going to be the showcase for Elder Scrolls Online.
Ooh, nice.
One thing that is going to be absent from this show, because it's so big and they want to give it its own personal showcase, is going to be Starfield. So Starfield's not going to be here, but Starfield has its own big
thing.
Perfect.
Which is pretty cool.
Which it does deserve it, 100%.
Yes. For Bethesda's first new game like in years, this would be pretty cool.
I do think that Starfield is going to be like one of their flagship titles.
Yes, absolutely. Well, it's going to sell so much.
Even when we're at E3, Bethesda's always had their own separate event from all the others. Like it was a Bethesda like whole presentation. So this makes a lot of sense to me because their games usually are pretty massive and they're pretty in depth. One thing I do notice that is surprisingly absent, we have yet to hear any word of Fable.
Yeah, they've been very quiet on that.
Rumor, yeah. I saw a rumor. This rumor was debunked, but I'll tell you what the rumor was. Rumor had it that the Fable, they actually restarted the entire thing.
Really?
That was
they didn't do that.
And the reason that it was a rumor is because they said that there was been zero updates. We've not seen any level of gameplay. They basically did a Skull and Bones and restarted it and delayed it. But they said that that's not true, that it's still in full force. But when, when I heard about this Microsoft Direct, I'm like, oh, Fable, then you're, it's not going to be there. But I will ask a question to you two. Do you think Microsoft was bullied into providing this to us?
What do you mean?
Because everybody was saying, where is Microsoft? Where is Microsoft? Microsoft has nothing. Microsoft has nothing. And then literally it's, out of the blue, they're just like, we'll do a developer event.
It's possible.
I don't think they were bullied. I think this was calculated.
I think so.
I think this was a calculated risk by Microsoft. I think they knew what they were doing when they didn't attend the Game Awards. And they're like, you know what? We'll do our own thing.
Well, we talked about this offline. And right now, Microsoft is going through the FTC for the Microsoft Activision Blizzard acquisition. And basically, real quick, that the question is that, oh, if Microsoft buys it, will they have a monopoly on the gaming sphere?
I disagree with that heavily.
I agree, and so does a lot of people, unless you're suing.
Unless you're Sony.
Who apparently thinks that Microsoft is the bully on the playground.
They're just like, but Call of Duty.
Yeah, let's talk about Final Fantasy, Sony. Let's really talk.
Nobody wants to have that conversation yet. But I think that the reason Microsoft has been absent, not only in the Video Game Awards, but in really making massive announcements, and even with this event, it's not Microsoft doing the event, it's the developers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Microsoft right now wants to make itself seem smaller than it actually is.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, we don't have a whole lot of games. Oh, we're not a big studio. Oh, well, we have a couple developers working for us. We're gonna let them showcase things. It's really their doing. We're just trying to help them along.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Microsoft is really playing it smart just to make sure the FTC does not believe that they're this gigantic company, which Microsoft itself is a gigantic company. But Xbox itself owns 10% of the market share.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I think for the general person, the average person, they just think, oh, Microsoft, oh, it's an Xbox console. Oh, they're 50-50 with Sony. No, they are not.
Mm, no.
Not even close.
Yes, these sales numbers may be close, but it's probably because PlayStation 5s were so difficult to find.
And they still are.
They still are, and rumor has they may have issues, but that rumor turned out to be debunked. So Microsoft is just trying to grab some playing field. Whether you're a Sony fan or not, you kind of have to say Sony is not playing fair.
I do agree with that. Like, I love Sony, but from a business standpoint, I don't think they have a leg to stand on when they're trying to claim foul in regards to, like, monopolistic tendencies of Microsoft. Like, I just don't think it's there.
Right. And with this Microsoft Developer Direct, notice how the games that they're going to showcase are not quote unquote like, oh, AAA exclusive games that people must run out and buy. You have Elder Scrolls Online, you've got Forza Motorsport, which is really my alley, Minecraft Legends, and Redfall.
Mm-hmm.
This is not going to get Sony people to switch.
No.
None of these games are.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, Minecraft alone is multi-platform, so.
Yep.
And isn't Elder Scrolls Online multi-platform as well?
Yeah.
Yep.
I think Redfall, is Redfall exclusive?
It is exclusive.
Okay. Yep, it is exclusive to Series X, Series S, as well as Windows. And Forza Motorsport has always been exclusive to the Xbox and the PC. So, these aren't like show-stopping level games. They're great. They're fun. They're going to be amazing to look at. But I think that Microsoft is, as Mason said, I think it's still playing a very smart move by not showing Starfield, by not showing Fable, by not showing what all of your 27 other studios are producing.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is a smart decision.
I do. I do agree.
Same. I agree.
Just on the quick onset of 2023, just real quick, just overview of the year. who do you think is going to have the better year this year? Do you think it's going to be the Sony with the PlayStation 5 and all their games coming out? Or do you think this might be Xbox's year of sowing their seeds and now it's time to actually go out there and get the farm together?
Yeah. My opinion personally is this is actually Xbox's year. They have the most games in development scheduled to come out this year. Mm-hmm. So like, if they really want to grab people's attention, you come knocking it out of the park with, mm-hmm. with what you release in this first 6 months. That's going to get people's eye on it. They're like, oh shit, I need to pick up that on my PC. Or, hey, I need to go get an Xbox to play that, cause I don't have a PC to like play that on.
Yeah.
This is like actually a very important year for Microsoft because they have so much coming out. Like this is actually a huge year for them. And I don't know of that many Sony titles coming out this year.
I don't know a lot either off the top of my head.
Yeah, I honestly can't really think of any. Like, I think Forspoken, that's one. But, like, outside of that, I am drawing a blank.
That is a...
It's probably third-party stuff. It's probably not first-party.
Let's see. We got Forspoken...
Spider-Man 2.
Yes, Spider-Man, Final Fantasy 16, Stellar Blade, whatever that is.
Meh. Final Fantasy 7 Rebirth. Meh. Horizon Call of the Mountain VR. Meh. First off, hold on, real quick, sidebar. That VR is $530.
Oh, no thanks.
That's more than I played for the damn console.
Yeah, no.
That's what a lot of people said.
I sleep on that.
Well, I was going to get it because I have Gran Turismo 7 and I have a whole full racing cockpit. And I was like, oh, this would be perfect. But then I saw the price and I'm like, absolutely not.
No.
I'll wait for it to be discounted.
Very unreasonable.
Yeah, it'll go on sale. 100%. It'll definitely go on sale. Give it like 2 years, probably. It won't be in the first year.
Oh, absolutely. But
in 2 years, it'll go on sale.
All right, so Mason, feel free to bring us our last story that has to do with one of our favorite influencers.
Oh boy, yeah. So I just earlier mentioned, you know, things that are unreasonable. Another thing that's unreasonable, which I'm sure many of you know about now, is the controversy surrounding Logan Paul. The Paul brothers cannot seem to stay out of trouble. You would have thought that the Suicide Forest would have been his wake-up call, but, you know, here we are. I'm sure people remember that controversy from years ago.
I don't care for the brothers at
all. No.
I don't think that they're... And here's the thing. I think Logan Paul has probably 22 million followers. His brand of influence does nothing for me. It's not my kind of shtick. Yeah. And his other brother, the same thing. And they're actually from
they're from Westlake.
They're from our neighborhood.
Yeah.
And I just don't think it appeals to...
Yeah. It's such a shame, too, because, like, you know, we're from Ohio, and they just, I don't know, give Ohio kind of a bad rap.
They do.
Some people would say that, but some people say that those are the Ohio Golden Boys.
I don't know. I would argue freaking... what's that rap artist that's from Cleveland?
Machine Gun Kelly.
Yeah, I would say... I would argue that Machine Gun Kelly, even though he's kind of more crazy now that he's with Megan Fox, you know, he gives a better rap to Ohio.
I would say Halle Berry gives a better rap to Ohio.
Is she from Ohio?
She is.
I'd pick Steve Harvey.
Steve Harvey's legit, 100%.
Luke Carey.
Yep.
He's like the Mr. Potato Head.
looks like Mr. Potato Head.
No, Drew Carey was great, especially with like Whose Line Is It Anyway? And now he's doing what? Price is Right?
Yeah, I used to love Whose Line Is It Anyway? I think that was my favorite show.
Oh, it was so good. But circling back to Logan Paul and his controversy, basically it deals with a brand new... I shouldn't say brand new. It's just, I should say, brought to light. Crypto project known as CryptoZoo. And this wasn't his first foray into any sort of like cryptocurrency / like NFTs or whatever. He did this other thing back in the day called Dink Doink, which was this absurd like cartoon that was being sold as like an NFT. And it was like supposed to be like this coin, and it was just this whole disaster that just, you know, was what I call a pump and dump, where, you know, they pumped a bunch of money into it, and once it reached a certain point, they just, you know, sold off a bunch of its value so that they could make their money and leave everybody else kind of holding the bag, so to speak. And just like crypto. And with this other project called CryptoZoo that was announced in, I believe it was like 2020, it was brought to light by a YouTube kind of journalist going by the name of CoffeeZilla. He released a 3-part document video series detailing this scam that Logan Paul and his band of thieves did. And I highly recommend checking out those videos. They can provide a lot more context than we can right now. But essentially, the Cliff Note version of the docuseries is that Logan Paul and his merry band of thieves, is what I will call them, is they announced a product that was crypto, didn't deliver, essentially stole a bunch of money from people that invested and just left. Mm-hmm. That's, wow. That's essentially the Cliff Note version. Yes, there's more moving parts and there's a lot of things I'm omitting.
Can I add a little bit to the story?
Yeah, of course.
So when we're thinking of like crypto, you're probably thinking like, oh, they probably paid like, because you bought these NFT eggs.
Yeah.
And the eggs would hatch into these exotic animals. And that's why it was called CryptoZoo.
Yes.
You could basically create your own little farm, or not farm, your own little zoo. And so one guy who was 34 years old, I don't know why I told you his age, but I feel like it's relevant that you know the information. He spent $40,000.
Sheesh.
And I'm sitting there and I'm just like, I don't feel bad for you. I don't.
No.
Because one, you've seen every available story that tells you crypto is a scam.
Yep.
You've seen the Paul brothers basically are just here to take your money and then leave. They're not providing you with any decent service. Like you can say that there are some influencers who actually do a lot of positive things. Mr. Beast, okay, he does a lot of positive things. I don't necessarily care for him, but I can say he is a good person for the
community. Yeah, he's a philanthropist.
He is a philanthropist of the highest order. The Paul brothers are not.
No, they're clout chasers.
Exactly. If the Paul brothers were releasing a t-shirt and they were giving you $5 if you were to buy one, I wouldn't buy it. I wouldn't even give them nothing to buy that.
They would have you pay them $5 to wear their t-shirt.
It would be like, it was almost as if the Paul brothers run Hasbro. We will give you will pay us $1,000 for the opportunity to buy one of our NFTs.
Yeah, they're like, hey, man, you want a picture? Give me some money.
It's so exclusive. And so I don't feel bad for the person who spent $40,000. What I do feel bad for is the young investors,
quote-unquote
investors, who are getting an NFTs. They're a big follower. They think Logan Paul is like some role model.
Yeah.
Invested their money from their minimum wage job or whatever, and they virtually got scammed.
It's unfortunate. I mean, this was a scam project, and essentially, if Logan Paul wants to make things right with his fans, I think he should reimburse them
every last penny.
Whether or not, you know, the person who invested is a reputable person or not. I mean, regardless of who invested, pay their money back and just wash yourself of this project because, you know, it was a failure.
And I think that's one of the problems that we're starting to see is that we have all these people who are investing and promoting these cryptos, these NFTs. And then when it falls through, all they do is release an, oh, I'm sorry video. I'll do better next time.
Yeah. It's like that episode of South Park where they're just like, oh, I'm sorry.
Yes. Or it's that episode of South Park where they're at the bank.
And it's gone. And
it's gone.
that's so good.
Yeah.
It's so true.
It is.
I think that's what we need to, like, people need to start calling these people out, and these celebrities need to start paying out of their own pocket. Because one thing that we don't do here is we don't endorse anything we don't use.
Exactly.
Like, we don't endorse anything. because we're assholes. But, like, we definitely don't endorse Ubisoft. But if you're going to endorse something and put your name behind it, have some moral and conviction behind it.
Yeah, exactly.
This is my project. My name is on it. Mm-hmm. Sideways. The least I can do is pay you out of my millions of dollars in which you gave me. You can have it back. Save face.
And here's the thing, like with Logan Paul too, like he could take accountability, but he's not. Like, what he's failing to realize is he's just like, oh, this isn't a scam because I didn't make any money. I didn't sell. My partners made money and they sold. So therefore, it's not a scam. No, it doesn't work like that, buddy. They scammed you. So it's basically it's scammers scamming scammers, right? Yeah. Like, just because Logan didn't sell and maybe didn't scam and had good intentions, guess what? The people that he worked with and his name was attached to, guess what? They did. So he's the face of the project. He's the one that managed it. He's the one that got the ball rolling. So he needs to step up to the plate, admit like, hey guys, I fucked up, and just say, hey, here's some money back.
I agree. 110%. But that completes our very first story of the 2023 season. Now, guys, you might be wondering, why are we on video? And we were going to hit at this at the beginning, but I completely forgot. So let's hit on it at the end. So when Elon Musk bought Twitter, we saw that there was a lot of negativity. And with us being a pretty diverse podcast in more ways than one, it really didn't feel like the best place for us to continue advertising.
Yeah, I agree.
We've received quite a lot of positive feedback. Some people say we're funny. Some people say they learn a lot of information from us. But some of our negative feedback has to do on things that we can't control. Mm-hmm. Like vaccination status. F that guy. Anywho, and Mr. Musk posted something on Twitter about why people don't use Twitter more often. And there was a lot of comments, and I, controlling the Uninformed Gamers Twitter page, had to say, it's like we're talking into a void. We can post these funny comments, we can leave replies, but we're not really seeing the growth in which we should be seeing. It seems like I see more promotional tweets from Elon than I do from other creators on the same space. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And for us, that doesn't seem like that's a longevable, survivable solution, okay?
Yeah.
I've been on TikTok. I've made a few videos. I mostly just comment. And I felt that for us to get the audience that I think would really appreciate, because there's a good algorithm built into TikTok, that'd be best if we move ourselves over to TikTok. Now, the video that we're going to show on TikTok might not be what I'm saying now. We're going to pick a good 30 seconds. But I want you guys to know that if you want to, we do have a podcast that we've been doing for the last couple years. You can find us on Spotify at Uninformed Gamers, or you can find us on Apple Podcasts at Uninformed Gamers. And we're actually quite a lot of other places. Mm-hmm. However, we wanted to start building our brand because I think that us three are too wise, we're too funny, and we're too uninformed, so you guys not to see us more often.
Exactly.
So since we're going to be reaching out to a TikTok audience starting now, I'd love to hear your feedback. I'd love to see some follows. The clips that we're going to post, you can obviously leave comments on. And if you leave a good comment, we'll probably do one comment of the day. And if you don't leave a comment, we'll do one good comment of the day that I'll make up off the top of my head.
Yeah, or like we could feature like the best comment in like the next episode or something.
Yep, or if somebody wants to present a topic to us or a news story that we haven't considered,
we'll happily do it. Yeah, definitely feel free to drop comments saying like, oh, hey, did you hear about this sort of thing?
Yeah. Yeah, just interact with us.
We love to interact with fans. So,
and I want you guys to realize that, as we've said from the very beginning, we are a small podcast. We enjoy doing this. To us, it's just three friends hanging out.
Exactly.
Two brothers and a friend. Two brothers and a white guy. It's just us. It's just us hanging out, having a good time. We're not too big for anything. None of us is ever going to say anyone is beneath us or above us. We're just normal people.
Yep.
And with that being said, I am one of your hosts, Darkness Tiger. You can find me controlling the Twitter page at Uninformed Gamers. You can also find me controlling the TikTok at Uninformed Gamers. If you like what we do, be sure to give us a like, a subscribe, a comment, a DM, a follow. Or if you want to play with us, just let us know. All right, guys, go ahead and do your sign outs.
Yeah, I am Chameleon. You can find me on Twitter at Chameleon Games. That's the best place to reach out to me.
Yeah, and I am Rad Dreams from Rad Dreams Review on YouTube. I will be editing this video myself and posting it to my YouTube channel, Rad Dreams Review, so be sure to give me a follow there and keep up with us there as well. That would be fan-freaking-tastic. And also give me a follow on Twitch at rad_dreams. I am going to try to make 2023 the year where I stream more.
Hey, I'm here for it. All right. Thank you guys so much for joining us. We will catch you next time. Bye.
Later.
Peace.